It emerged from its wormhole terminus 115,000 kilometres above Atlantis, almost directly over the Dawn Terminator. Syrinx felt the rest of the crew observing the planet through the Void Hawk's sensor vistas. There was a collective emission of admiration. Atlantis was a seamless blue, overlaid with ruts, spirals of pure white cloud. There were fewer storms than an ordinary world, where continental and sea winds whipped up high and low air fronts in unceasing turmoil. Most of the storms below were concentrated in the tropical zones, stirred by the Coriolis effect. Both the polar ice caps were nearly identical circles, their edges amazingly regular. Reuben, who was sitting in Syrinx's day cabin in the shape-moulding couch beside her, gripped her hand a fraction tighter. "This was an excellent choice, darling, a true fresh start to our civilian life. You know, in all my years I've never been here before." Syrinx knew she was still too tense after every swallow manoeuvre, alert for hostile ships. True Navy paranoia. She let the external image bathe her mind, soothing away the old stress habits. The ocean had a delightful sapphire radiance to it. "Thank you. I think I can smell the salt already." "As long as you don't try and drink this ocean like you did on Uligor." She laughed at the memory of the time he had taught her how to windsurf in that beautiful deserted cove on a resort island. 5 years ago. Where did the time go? Inone descended into a 500-kilometer orbit, complaining all the while. The planet's gravity was exerting its inexorable influence over local space, tugging at the stability of the Void Hawk's distortion field, requiring extra power to compensate, a degradation which increased steadily as it approached the surface. When Inone reached the injection point, it could barely generate half a G acceleration. There were over 600 Void Hawks and 38 Black Hawks, Syrinx noted with vague disapproval, and close to 1,000 Adamist starships sharing the same standard equatorial orbit. Inone's mass sensitivity revealed them to Syrinx's mind like muddy footprints across snow. Every now and then sunlight would flash off a silvered surface, betraying their position to the optical sensors. Ground-to-orbit craft were shuttling constantly between them and the buoyant islands floating far below. She saw that most of them were space planes rather than the newer iron-field craft. There was a quiet background hum in the affinity band as the Void Hawks conversed and exchanged astrogation updates. "Can you find Isk for me?" she asked. "Of course," Inone replied. "Panic Island is just over the horizon. It's midday for them. It would be easier to reach from a higher orbit," it added with apparent innocence. "No chance. We're only here for a week." She sensed the affinity link to Isk opening. They exchanged identity traits. He was 58 years old, a senior in a family business that trawled for fish and harvested various seaweeds, then packaged them for transmit. "My sister Pomona said I should contact you," Syrinx said. "I'm not sure if that's good or bad," Isk replied. "We haven't quite recovered from our last visit." "That's my sister, all right, but I'll let you decide. I'm sitting up here with a tragically empty cargo hold which needs filling. 400 tons of the classiest, tastiest products you have." Mental laughter followed. "Heading for Norfolk by any chance? How did you guess?" "Take a look around you, Syrinx. Half the ships in orbit are loading up ready for that flight, and they place contracts a year in advance." "I couldn't do that." "Why not?" "We just finished a Confederation Navy duty tour 3 weeks ago. Inone has spent the time since then in dock, having the combat wasp launchers removed and standard cargo systems fitted." She felt his mind close up slightly as he considered her request. Reuben crossed his fingers and pulled a face. "We might have some surplus," he declared eventually. "Great. It's not cheap, and it's nowhere near 400 tons. Money's no problem." She could sense the dismay tweak of the crew at that blasé statement. They had all pooled their Navy severance pay and taken out a big loan option from the Jovian Bank in the hope of putting together a cargo deal with a Norfolk Rose Yard Association merchant. Contrary to the firmly seated Adamus belief, the Jovian Bank did not hand out money to any Edenist on request. Between them, Inoni's crew had only just scraped together enough fuser dollars for a cash collateral.